Let's start with, we'll have the board and staff introduce themselves.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Dr. Kelly King, physical therapist, professional member.
Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Karen Bustillo, professional member.
Mark Cornwall, professional member.
Mishka Remick, professional member.
John Talier, assistant attorney general and legal advisor.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Mindy Richardson, board investigator.
All right. Just a matter of, this hearing is being audio recorded. Please introduce yourself, and is that a lawyer that you have with you on the other line?
Correct.
Yeah, then they need to introduce themselves as well.
Hi, Priyanka Desai of the Goldberg Law Group.
And good morning again. My name is Andrew Robert.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself. Hold on. You will be able to make that statement. But we got a couple other little things we need to do.
Absolutely.
I just want to remind the attorney that she may make an opening or closing statement, but the questioning occurs between the board and the licensee. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046, and I'm going to read the following statement. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500 per violation. Issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary action order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there is no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. I want to remind, as we go through and we have discussions, please refer to any patients by just their initials and not their name. All right? We need to swear everyone in. So everyone who's going to make a statement or present information, please raise your right hand. And I'm going to swear you all in at the same time. Is everyone ready? Do each of you swear and promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Andrew?
Yes, sir. I do.
Okay. All right. So if you'd like, you may now make your opening statement.
During my interview with Back in Action, I was assured that they did things legally and ethically, that they were a leader in the profession, and at the time, with the credentials that they had, I had no reason to assume otherwise. Upon starting work there, I quickly realized that I had some major concerns, and I had asked the staff couple times on some of these concerning issues. For example, the acupuncture and massage from physical therapy, transferring care to those services. That was something new that I'd never seen before, and I questioned it, if this was something that was appropriate. Where I went wrong was not telling the board. My decision at that time was to leave as quickly and as professionally as I could. And I believe Ms. Peggy Hunter told me this last time, look at where that got you. And she's absolutely right. I am talking in front of you all right now, and I apologize for that. I want to do things legally and ethically, and it was my duty to tell the board of some concerns, and I did not, and I'm sorry. I had a fear of dealing with that with my peers and coworkers at that time, and I didn't. No one likes to deal with conflict, and I chose to get away from that conflict. The wrong decision. And I'm sorry for that. And I think one of the other issues from our last conversation was on documentation, and I've always been at clinics that used to be one-on-one, and the volume of patients that Back in Action did not give me the ability to document accordingly at times. So it was not based on a predetermined gain. It was merely human error, and I apologize for that. It's not what I was trying to do. What the bill inevitably, I apologize for that. The mere fact of volume, I at that you can see I didn't keep up with for that patient. I'm sorry. Thank you.
All right. We'll now move into a question and answer. So some of the board members might have questions
Absolutely.
For you. Does any of the board like?
Absolutely.
I don't have a question. I'd just like to tell you, Mr. Roberts, I appreciate your apology.
And if you could identify yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Peggy Hunter. Sorry.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know, and I don't want to offend anyone. This is something that I've never been in. And definitely a new situation for me, and I don't know how to answer questions as maybe I should. So I don't want this to come across that I'm frustrating either. And I kind of thought about the last time we had a conversation, and I think I could have answered things differently, but it was very uncomfortable considering. And so I apologize if I offended anyone. That's the last thing I want to do. So I'm sorry if I did. Thank you.
Mr. Roberts, let's start with some easy questions. Give us a background of your education.
So I graduated from Andrews University in 2009. I've taken several classes along the way. I would say the biggest thing that I've done is I got my fellowship status with American Academy of Manipulative Therapy. And that was in 2016.
When did you start practicing physical therapy?
2009.
And when did you begin working with Back in Action?
I did temporary work for January to May. I signed on as just a contract part-time at that point. Checking out to see if I liked Arizona with the possibility of staying long-term.
That was 2017?
I believe, yeah, it was 2 years ago that I was there, correct.
In your opening statement, you mentioned some concerns. Two of them you identified specifically were massage and acupuncture. Were there other concerns that you had?
The keep in mind, this is 2 years ago. I would say the biggest thing for me that off the top of my head, it was acupuncture and massage. And that was something that, like I said, I've never seen that before. It seems that the clinic was high volume documentation for units, and they really pushed the amount of units that they would try to get out of you.
I want to stop just to make sure we're clear. Is that an additional concern you have, or are you specifically referring to the massage and acupuncture there?
An additional concern was the rate of billable units. I did my best not to deal with that, but I know that was one of the issues that they did try to stress. That was one of the things for me. I just disregarded as a temp worker.
And I do understand this was 2 years ago, but did you have any other concerns besides the three that we've identified?
At the moment, no. If you bring something up, I would love to discuss it. I can't think of anything now. I apologize if I'm missing something.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what happened, so you're doing fine.
Oh, okay.
With regard to the high volume, I think we've talked about that. What exactly was your concern with the massage? Just so we're all clear.
As the policy of the clinic, it was for physical therapists to transfer care to massage therapy. I believe they would then fill physical therapy units. I do not know that because I was not involved with all of the policies, but it was my understanding that they did.
And that was your time.
I believe acupuncture as well. But I don't want to give a statement. I don't know because I didn't do the billing. But that was, from my understanding, I think that was the case.
And that was your concern, correct?
Both the fact that I was transfer care to an acupuncturist and massage, and the fact that it was my understanding that it was okay to transfer to build units under physical therapy for massage and acupuncture.
Do you remember the patient SS?
Vaguely.
Do you have any idea of what happened with the record keeping in that case?
I apologize. Here's my last statement.
He wants you to repeat.
Oh, do you have any idea, any recollection of what happened with the record keeping with patient SS?
Are you referring to? I think the first during the first eval, I think she showed up a half an hour late. We had an hour long eval, so I was able to get in only the evaluation. Not anything else. And then the second treatment, I treated her a little bit, and then really focused on the home exercise program for treatment number two. Three and four, I questioned her compliance as far as how much she was doing for home exercise program. I think I only treated her four times, and then my TCA saw her for the majority of it. And then after I left, she continued on, I believe, with a new PT provider.
And just so we're... Mr. Tom, do you have a separate recollection of this, or are you just reviewing your records and that's what you're basing your recollection on?
I just remember that from before. I don't have any charting in front of me. I mean, I do have some of the notes from the record keeping that I sent to you. paper charting, and then they had an online charting. And that's how they did things. So some of the documentation, the specific documentation of what did exactly did you do, that was going to be on the paper charting. And then you would do somewhat of a generic note on the online WebPC version.
One last area that I want to talk about, and then other people may have some more questions. Let's talk about the name change. You're familiar with that allegation, correct?
The name change.
I mean the address change, sorry.
Oh, as far as for me moving up here, I had moved up here end of May. Within a month, I called Veronica. This is what you're referring to, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Called Veronica, hey, how do I transfer my address? Gave my new address, gave my phone number on to contact the DAX, and she was the one that I dealt with during my trying to get my Arizona license. I had the most conversation with her, right? And didn't receive a call back. I worded it in a way of, if this is good enough, you have my address, here you go. If we need anything more, give me a call back, here's my number. I didn't hear anything back. I had assumed that was it. 1 year passed by. Karen gave me an email to start all of this process, and I immediately got it in as soon as I could. So yeah, I apologize for not getting that in sooner.
And I just want to make sure I understand. So you called and left a message with Veronica. You didn't speak with her, correct?
I did not speak with her. I called and left a message.
And in your message, you left her your new address and your phone number, correct?
Correct. Yep.
And you didn't hear back for her, and you assumed that you were good, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Roberts, this is Peggy Hunter.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the records show with patient SF that you evaluated her, and then you said you transferred or had your PTA work with her from then on. Correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me when, how often should you reevaluate the patient?
Looking at documentation in the past, it didn't happen. And it should have happened every 30 days. And it didn't. I've done it at every other clinic that I have. I currently do it every 30 days. Or unless they're going in and seeing the doctor, I get it done before that. But it didn't happen. I'm sorry. And okay. You're right.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Roberts, it's Kelly King. Help me understand why another PT was co-signing on all of your notes?
He assured me that it was okay. Other clinics that I've been at, we do not do it that way, but at that time he was, he told me this is completely fine because I was a temporary worker as we were waiting for the inferences to get approved. And that was the decision that was made. Not how I would do things, and we make a point at my current facility of we have, once you get approved for an insurance, then you can see those patients. Until then, you're not going to see them, so which might take 6 months. So It's not the right way, in my opinion.
Thank you.
This is Mr. Greer. Did you have that concern at the time, or did you learn that later that it wasn't okay?
Okay, so then we'll add that to the concern. Yeah. That was day one that he had said, "Oh, and I'll co-sign for you. It's not a problem at all. You know, these things are okay."
And Excuse me, who said that?
I did say, "Are you sure? Is that okay?" And, "Oh, absolutely, it's fine. Don't worry about it." So, yeah, we can add that one to the list of concerns.
If I could just interrupt, Mr. Roberts, who told you that?
Steve Fandler.
All right, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Sorry, John.
This is Mark Cornwall. In the notes that we have for SS, there's a number of things that are just missing. We've already talked about the reevaluation, but you didn't document certain treatments that were performed. In your opening statement, you said something relative to the way that their documentation software or something. Is that, I'm trying to understand, why is some of that stuff missing? I mean, did you not know that needed to be included, or?
No, it was included, but there's two separate parties, and I don't know why they would do that. To me, I think it's confusing, and that in itself can cause error. Well, they did things. You had a paper charting that you'd list exactly what you did, and then you had the online charting. I'm assuming that you're seeing the online charting. Some of the things that we would put in that would be specific, all of it would be on these paper charting, and that is how they did things as a clinic. So because there was high volume, I think it was easier for a lot of them just to write down on a sheet of paper and then make quick online notes after work was done. So I think that was the rationale for it. But I haven't seen the paper charting since I left. So I'm with you on, I don't even know what I did beyond what I have for my online documentation, what you guys, I'm sure, have seen. So I would think that there is a discrepancy, because what you see is I did a unit of this and then transferred to a unit of whatever. And you don't know what all happened unless you have the paper documentation with it.
Yeah. So there's, I'm looking at, the individual had some cervical problems, rated neck disability at 52%, but there's a number of things that would be relatively common for a physical therapist to test, for example, upper extremity range of motion strength, neurological tests, special tests for the cervical spine, and those kinds of things are not really, they're not there. Did you not do them, or did you forget to document them?
At that time, she came in, she was a motor vehicle accident, and it was high soft tissue pain. And it was pain before the barrier, based on soft tissue rather than joints and ligaments. At that point, I felt with my subjective history taking that it was not indicated at that point. But should have those tests have been in there? Absolutely. You know, I think that in this case, us talking, it was provided more clarity. But based on clinical experience, if you want to even call it that, I
shifted based on the nature of how the patient reacted at that time.
Yeah. I understand that. Given that, wouldn't it make sense that you would have documented that, that those tests were not appropriate? And that's why they weren't done?
Mm-hmm. Making a statement like that would provide clarity. I think that you're correct.
I'm trying to, you know, I mean, if the old adage, if it's not written, it wasn't done, everyone knows that that's really not necessarily the case. But I'm trying to figure out, you know, are these things that you did and didn't document, or you didn't do? Is this sloppy note-taking, or is this, you know, shorthand note-taking?
Right. The patient came in a half an hour late, I apologize. I didn't get all the tests in that I could have. And it was a full body soft tissue soreness. So some things I didn't feel were indicated like this. But you're right. You know, I could have added many more things. It's true.
Okay.
Mr. Roberts, it's Kelly King. When was the last time you took a documentation course?
Never.
How would you describe your documentation here compared to what you're doing now in your current practice?
I have more time to document. So we are given documentation time. And I'm able to add more, give more thought to my patients now. Before, it was just, you know, high volume, and it was a challenge to get everything in every day. So, absolutely, you know, I could have added a lot more. And that's why I left, too. I just didn't feel like I was getting quality care than I could, and I left as soon as I could. After my term was done with the 10th work, I left.
It's Kelly.
But you're right. You know, I have not done a documentation course ever. You know, it's been manual therapy or exercise driven courses up to date.
So I'm just, correct me if I'm wrong, you were there for 5 months, correct?
January to middle of May or so.
And was your practice full-time, 40 hours a week?
I was part-time. I was, I believe, 30 hours.
And with your concerns, you stayed there to the termination of your contract?
What was the last bit for guys?
You had concerns, and you stayed for 5 months.
Yes. I fulfilled my contract and left without extension or going to full time there.
Thank you.
Any other questions by the board members?
A question for Veronica.
Yeah.
You've been sworn in.
No. You have to swear.
Okay. I swear you in. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Do you recall receiving a voicemail from Mr. Robert?
I unfortunately do not.
Can you speak up so he can?
I do not recall.
One way or another.
Either way, yeah. I do not recall.
Thank you.
Okay. So this concludes the interview portion of the hearing. The board now will take the evidence and talk amongst themselves. So you are not, unless we have a specific question for you, you're not going to be able to say anything. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Uh, I apologize for being in this situation. I should have contacted the board sooner. There's a lot of things that I would have done differently, and I would not have gotten involved if I had known the true practices of the clinic. I would have avoided it altogether. I tried to leave, and where I currently am, I'm doing things legally and ethically. And I did not tell the board accordingly, and like Miss Peggy Hunter said, look at where that got me. And I apologize. This is not a situation that I ever want to be in ever again, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so deliberations amongst ourselves. We should try to refrain from asking more questions. What is everyone's first initial thoughts?
I am with Ms. Hunter. I appreciate the contrition and the acknowledgement of what to do differently in subsequent practice.
I share the concerns by Dr. King that he was there for 5 months. He had these concerns. I think the testimony was on day one. This is how it's done. Oh, I didn't see right. And then he stayed there for 5 months. And I understand people like to avoid confrontation, but it appears like these are some serious issues. So I have that concern as well. I think
I have to agree that, you know, he's not a new grad. He's been practicing as a PT since 2009, I think he said. So 8 years in practice, documenting, evaluating, and things like that. And I have some concerns about standard of care as far as treatment as well as thorough documentation to support the patient's progress or lack thereof. I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
It seems that his, you know, he had concerns, but he didn't go to the source to find out whether or not those were valid concerns or not, even to the employer, which, you know, when it comes to what you should and shouldn't do, probably ought to go to the source, which means the statute and or maybe the board staff. He did pass the AZ law. He either didn't get what he needed out of it, or so I'm concerned that he kept relying on the wrong information to make his decisions.
Well, you know, to his point, it's difficult to be confrontational, but when it's your profession, you have that responsibility of being confrontational when it comes to the statutes and rules and laws.
Yeah.
Not only your profession, but your best practice for your patient.
Correct.
Any other comments? Do we want to make a motion relative to findings of fact?
I do. I'd like to make a motion adopting the factual allegations as findings of fact with the additional facts as stated. Mr. Roberts began practicing in 2009. Mr. Roberts had four concerns with his employment at Back in Action. These concerns were, one, the high volume of patients that he was being asked to see, two, and three, the fact that he was being asked to transfer care to massage therapists and acupuncturists, and he had concerns that these professionals were billing physical therapy units, and four, that he was being asked to have another physical therapist co-signed his notes until he was credentialed with the insurance company. He continued to work at Bad Connection until the conclusion of his contract.
I just want clarity, Ms. Donahue. Did Mr. Roberts ever transfer care to an acupuncturist or massage therapist?
He did not. The patient did get there, but not. It was very hard to distinguish if you read the record, because
correct.
People pop in and pop out of that record, and it's very hard to determine only by the co-signatures who may have been supervising on that day. So in the case of Mr. Roberts, on the dates that he has his signature in this patient record, no acupuncture was delegated on that day.
But he did obviously observe other therapists doing this practice of transferring.
According to his testimony.
He was concerned about.
Correct. All right, thank you.
Okay.
That's my motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, any discussion on those findings of fact?
Ms. Remick?
I just wanted to discuss a few points.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Greer, are you feeling that, which factual allegations were you thinking for, or what evidence for the charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees?
My concern there is the co-signing.
Is the co-signing.
Is
okay.
He's being asked, and I think he knew. I think his testimony, he knew. He was told, we want you to sign on this until you're credentialed, because you're not credentialed. And I understand the problem for the clinic. He's a temporary employee. He's got a 5-month contract, and it takes 6 months to get credentialed. But that's not an excuse to cut corners. But I think, and this is not a new graduate. This is someone who's practiced for 8 years, and that's my concern.
I think other than that, I think the investigative report shows that there have been treatments that were billed for, but were not done. Documentation.
And that gets to the chicken and egg problem with this sloppy record keeping, where
correct.
The records don't support what was actually billed or was the treatment not provided for. So sometimes I'm hesitant to jump there to the fraudulent billing, but here I'm more concerned with the fact that it sounds like from his testimony he knew that this was an issue. And once again, instead of checking with the board, or he went and asked the employer, and unfortunately he got some incorrect information.
Any other? We're still in the discussion. We have a motion, we have a second, so we're still. Any other further discussion on the findings of fact? Hearing none, then let's call.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay, now we need to determine whether or not these findings of fact support some conclusion of law. And I'm happy to entertain a motion relative to conclusion of law.
I move that we find a violation of ARS 32-2044-1, 32-2044-12, 32-2044-13, 32-2044-20, and 32-2044-25.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on or amendments? Okay. Hearing none, let's call the motion.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay. So now we've got the findings of fact and conclusions of law, and now.
I would move that we impose discipline as follow: 1, a decree of censure; to an administrative penalty in the amount of $500. 3, probation, the period of 12 months. Terms of that probation, that the doctor take a continuing education course in record keeping in the amount of how many hours?
Six hours.
And that the doctor retake the Arizona jurisprudence exam.
I'd like to do a friendly amendment to that, if I may. I think Mr. Roberts would benefit from an ethics and supervision course.
How many hours?
I think 8 hours. I think the two can be combined. Is that correct, Ms. Donahue? Ethics and supervision.
There's very few, if any, supervision courses available.
Okay, so I guess...
And he is out of state. Every state has different supervision rules.
That's true. So it would be more beneficial just to take ethics.
Very good.
So how much for the ethics?
6 hours.
That's reasonable.
I accept.
Is this going to be a consent?
No, this is an order.
You're
in an informal hearing.
I think it would be appropriate if the rest of the board agrees to offer Mr. Roberts a consent.
No, this is an order. You're an informal hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, so we have. Does everyone understand the motion and friendly amendment?
I do.
We have a second.
Now we have a second.
For discussion, I was wondering if the board would, in the interest of leniency, because I find it uncommon to have a licensee that is acknowledging of their wrongdoings, and I also feel that the cost of taking 3 classes, should this motion pass, would be in excess of $500. I'm wondering if the motion maker would entertain a change in the civil penalty.
I would be in favor of that.
I support that as well.
Change to?
To no.
To zero.
To no civil penalty.
Very good.
So the motion as amended.
Amended, yes.
Is a decree of censure, probation in the amount of 12 months, continuing education 6 hours in the area of record keeping, and 6 hours in the area of ethics.
And the Arizona law exam.
Yeah.
Jurisprudence exam.
Okay.
And we have in our language potential for early term as a standard. Okay.
Okay. Further discussion. So we have, that was a friendly amendment, so we don't need to get another.
Nope, we're good.
So everybody understand the motion, okay?
Yes.
Then I'll call the question.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Joshua? Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Okay. This concludes this hearing. Mr. Roberts, thank you very, very much for participating. And the staff will be in contact with you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We're a little bit behind. Does anybody need a break?
Yeah, you're not behind. It just can't start prior to that time. So you can...
Well, I thought we had a 9:30.
You do, but it means that you can't start prior to 9:30, but you can start after 9:30.
Would anyone like to need to take a break? Okay. Well, then let's move to case number 18-41, Keith Bandry. I think you're here, right? Why don't you come forward?
Professional member.
Ishka Remick, professional member.
John Talier, Assistant Attorney General and Legal Advisor.
Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Monica Crowley, Licensing Administrator.
Monica Cardoza, Administrative Services Officer. Committee Richardson Board.
Okay. So if patients come up during this discussion, please refer to them by their initials rather than their name. Okay? And this is, we're holding this interview pursuant to ARS 32-2046. Let me read this statement. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if the violation of any board statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500 per violation. 4, issue another disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds that the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay. All parties who will be testifying, please raise your hands. Keith, why don't you raise your hand? We're going to swear you in. You each swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you very much. So why don't you introduce yourself, and if you'd like to, you may make an opening statement.
Keith Henry, physical therapist. So I just wanted to make a statement to reiterate the letter that I had sent in, that, you know, upon receiving this complaint, this was the first awareness I had of the marketing campaign, and mainly wanted to be here to answer questions, but also to state that I don't have any direct involvement with the marketing or the organization. I don't have any education or training in medical marketing, so my involvement is strictly on the clinical organization.
Okay. So we will move into a phase where board members may have questions for you. We'd like you to answer as best you can. So anybody have any questions for Mr. Fan?
You start with your education background and then your work.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I studied physical therapy at Andrews University of Michigan. I did quite a few of my internship trainings at the Cleveland Clinic. Then I went on to Adventist Hospital in Portland, Oregon. I practiced there for several years. And then I moved to Arizona and started practicing more financial. So I have a lot of continuing education with the North American Institute of Manual Physical Therapy, the McKinsey Institute, the American Academy of Manipulative Therapy, and completed my fellowship status with the American Academy of Manipulative Therapy in 2015.
When did you start practicing?
2008.
What's your relationship with that connection?
Initially, as an employee for 3 years, I believe, and then had an opportunity to partner with the organization in my practices. I continue to do, and I'm clinical director of the Scottsdale location.
Are you so you're an owner of that venture?
I'm a partner.
I guess to get to semantics, is your partnership own the company, or is the partnership the company?
The partnership.
Tell us how marketing works at that connection.
We have a marketing director who oversees, anywhere from 0 to, I think at one point, maybe 2 other individuals, and then the president and the vice president of the company oversee the marketing director.
Are you the president or the vice president?
No.
Who's the president?
Jonas Ash.
Who's the vice president?
Andrew Ash.
Are they your partners?
Yeah.
Who's the marketing director?
That's Vanessa Morales.
How did you find out about this flyer? You're familiar with the flyer that was up
there. Yeah.
How did you find out about it?
I received a certified mail from the board.
What did you do after you received that?
I contacted the president of the company and asked him about it. And then he contacted the marketing director, who then contacted me and had a conversation with him about it.
Are either the vice president, either the Mr. Ashes, are they a physical therapist?
No.
Are you the sole physical therapist who is a partner?
Yeah, I'm a physical therapist as a partner.
So you had a conversation with the marketing director. What was the substance of that conversation?
Well, I asked her if she was aware of the flyer. She stated that she was. I told her, you know, kind of the allegations and the complaint from the state board. And she stated that the new marketing representative that she had hired had that idea, and they pushed through with it. And that's how I asked them to discontinue that. Just kind of recited the complaints, the, you know, 4411, 4412, the kickbacks and things like that. That was going to be good. That's going to cease that.
Has it stopped?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I was told.
Have you taken any steps to further involve yourself in the marketing process so that this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, well, I certainly had a meeting with the president, I believe it was that following Friday, and showed them the statutes, and you know, just insisted that they not, you know, participate in any action that involved you know, some of this verbiage, things of that nature.
Yeah, your understanding is they followed that advice.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Fenry, of course you didn't know about the flyer. I'm wondering how the marketing people were going to know who had the most referrals. It seems like that would be from the clinics themselves.
From the clinics that were referring?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
So they did this without ever contacting any of the clinics?
That I don't know.
Did they contact you?
Oh, you mean the physical therapy clinics? No, I was not contacted.
So the marketing never contacted you to say we're running this promotional?
No.
No. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Flandry, to the best of your knowledge, were there any Amazon cards sent to the providers referring patients to you or to any other bad national clinics?
No.
I'm a little confused that you're a partner and you are the only physical therapist who's a partner and you are responsible for the clinic side of things. Why wouldn't marketing contact you before they did this? I'm trying to figure out what kind of marketing would they do that wouldn't involve patient care? Do they have another help? Is there another arm of this organization that's not providing physical therapy services?
No, it's a good question, and I definitely understand that from the letter I received. But no, I've never had any marketing, you know, involvement or, you know, experience in any way with the organization. So the president of the organization has some background in the medical field. And he's the one that runs marketing.
So. Have any? This goes to an earlier statement. Has anything changed? Are you now in the loop about marketing? Are you still out of the loop?
I mean, as far as you know, a few things that it comes down to. I mean, one is time. But again, I wouldn't have any positive contributions to marketing as I don't have any experience or education, so I'm not really involved in the process. I've asked the the president and, as I mentioned, the marketing director to not run any type of contest ever again.
I can understand where, you know, without a marketing degree, you may not be comfortable designing a program, but maybe you'd have veto power? Like
yeah.
They run it past you and you go, no, this is not going to fly based on our license.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I mean,
so
if that's what the board's requesting, then...
I'm trying to figure out whether or not... is there still a risk that another marketing program will come out and nothing has changed and that you're still out of the loop? And to be honest, you're next on the block. Nobody else is. We're not going to discipline any of the other partners. We're not going to discipline the marketing director. It's you.
I understand, and
you're a partner.
Well, I made that clear to my partners, you know, that really this does kind of fall on me. So I've made it clear, and I trust them at this point to sacrifice, you know, my profession over that.
Do you consider yourself an equal partner to the other two?
I'm not. No, I'm a lower percentage.
Okay.
Mr. Kander, what is your benefit to being a partner? You said a lower percentage. Percentage of what?
A percentage owner of the clinic. So, you know, originally the partnership was, you know, a benefit was designed for potential you know, profit sharing interest, but you know, to date we've never done that with this partner.
So, what is your benefit to being a partner?
Benefits probably to the organization and like long hours worked. But to this date, there's no benefit. The hope is that there's benefit on Sunday.
Benefit is you get to come before us.
What's that?
That's the benefit. The benefit is you get to catch all the heat.
Yeah, that's another liability in addition to the long hours.
Any other questions?
I have just a couple of clarifying questions. I'm not sure I captured this in your response to Mr. Greer about your education. Can you clarify for me some of the additional acronyms behind your name, specifically SMT, DN, and VRS?
Spinal manipulation therapy, SMT, dry needling certification, DN, and then vestibular rehabilitation specialty.
Okay, and then what additional education or certifications or tests did you have to complete prior to receiving those, if any?
Oh, yeah. The completion of a certain number of hours of continuing education credits and written exams for those three that you asked about.
For all three?
Yeah.
All have written exams?
Mm-hmm.
All have continuing ed credits?
Yes.
Would you say in excess of 6 hours?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then what is the nature of your... How did the partnership begin with you and Mr. and Mr. Ash?
I suppose originally when I was hired through the organization, they were looking for you know, kind of a direction for the organization to go and approach me with a potential partnership option.
So would it be correct to say they already had operated a physical therapy clinic prior to your tenure there?
Yeah. Yes, originally it was a chiropractic and physical therapy clinic.
With a different, I'm guessing, clinical operator that was a physical therapist?
The chiropractor, I believe, was at the time.
Okay, and then you came on as essentially a director of operations or clinic manager?
I came on as a staff physical therapist and employee and evolved from that point.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else? Any other questions? All right, so it appears that we're done asking questions. Would you like to make any closing statement or anything? before we move into board deliberation?
No, just thank you for hearing my side of kind of these complaints against me. And I just want to reiterate, you know, to more specific verbiage that I've never financially profited from, you know, referrals to the organization in any way, you know, either directly or indirectly. And certainly never had involvement in that in any way. So thank you.
Okay. All right. So the board will now deliberate. So what's everybody thinking?
The evidence is pretty clear that he didn't have anything to do with this.
I think you're right. I'm still puzzled why they would not even include him, if nothing else, as a veto on something like this. I mean, it directly impacts him and the recruitment of patients, referrals. He's over the clinic, yet they don't even bother to tell him what's going on. If I was him, I would renegotiate my relationship because it's not working for him. All it takes is a different marketing director come in, and he's back in the same spot. So.
And I've been thinking about that because I want to incentivize the licensee to take appropriate action. And so I'm not going to make a motion. I move that we issue an advisory letter saying that Dr. Pantry should be aware of the ethical rules related to gifts, monetary incentives, kickbacks in exchange for patient referrals. And so now he's on notice. And
second for discussion.
And the next time it comes back, he's not going to be able to say, I'm sorry, I know you can do about that. So that would be my motion. Thank you.
So we have a second. All right.
I think that's good because I'm still, even though Mr. Fender says he had no idea, I'm still unsure how they were going to give out these $100 Amazon cards without the input from the clinics.
You can get it right off of PT. You just run a report of who your primary referrals are. So I think it could totally bypass. It can be done by whoever the administrator is.
You mean from the main office?
It doesn't matter. I'm going to assume that the offices are connected somehow, mm-hmm. and that you can do, or you can run a report off of each office, mm-hmm. and it would have nothing to do with the people who are actually in that office.
All right.
It could be done by administration as opposed mm-hmm. to
okay.
the therapist.
Well, that's a little clearer. Thank you for that.
So, okay. Should they know? Yes,
know.
But they may not.
Okay. Thank you.
I understand how procedurally that can happen. It just seems inconceivable to me that as a operations manager of a clinic, you wouldn't have any knowledge of this.
Yeah, well, I think that goes to the heart of my concerns, and it's now on him. He needs to decide whether or not this is a good relationship for him. And if they value him and he wants to stay there, they'll come up with a different relationship.
Right.
If not, if I was him, I'd walk. Because they're not looking out for him.
Nor are they utilizing him as leveraging a resource for
right.
practice of the business that they're in, making sure it's
so,
ethical and follow state practice.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any other discussion before we call the motion? And let's call it.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Key? Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, I think that concludes. Thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it, and good luck moving forward.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody still okay?
Yep.
All right. Let's move to case number 18-29, Mark Benson, physical therapist assistant. And Mark, you're here, so why don't you come forward? You can just have a seat, feel comfortable. I can't remember if you were here when we started the last one, so there's a bunch of stuff we just need to go through.
Okay, yes, I'll ask you to stand up.
We'll go through all that.
Okay.
So this is the matter of case number 18-29, Mark Horton, physical therapist assistant. We're going to have the board and staff members introduce themselves. Mr. Greer, why don't you start?
Joshua Greer, public member.
Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Karen Bustillo, professional member.
Mark Cornwell, professional member.
Mishka Romain, professional member.
John Talir, assistant attorney general and legal advisor.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, office manager. Licensing administrator.
Okay. So this hearing is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. 1, issue a decree of censure. 2, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. 3, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500 per violation. 4, issue other disciplinary action. 5, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there is no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Okay, so we will now swear in you and any others who will be testifying. Just raise your right hand. Okay, do each of you promise to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we start asking questions of you, do you have an opening statement?
I'm just here to answer any questions regarding the case as I can.
Okay. All right. So, anybody have any questions for Mr. Horton?
I'm just wondering, Mr. Horton, when you were attempting to renew your certificate, did you submit any kind of credit card for payment?
So, initially, I had trouble with the security codes trying to get in. That did take some time. I talked to some of my coworkers, PTs, PTAs, and they were experiencing the same issues with the system. It did take a while, but eventually I got to the point of the credit card, mm-hmm. and I thought I had been submitted at that time.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Did you look over your credit card statement or get any receipt?
I did not at that time.
You did not look over, or you did not get a receipt?
I did not. I don't believe I got either.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you think you had renewed before the deadline?
Definitely.
Tell me, what gave you that impression? What was there a message on the screen? What gave you the impression that it was really renewed?
No message on the screen, but going through the process, I didn't see anything otherwise. So I thought it was paid for, and I thought my license was in good standing at that time.
So you didn't get an error message from the system? Didn't crash halfway through, it didn't...
I don't believe so.
So the way the problem that we had, as you may all be aware of the system, is that many, many people thought they paid, thought they renewed. Sometimes they actually even received a receipt that said they had paid. Mm-hmm. But they got caught up in the system where it was a payment pending problem, where we had to, one, they had to identify that problem for us because there was no way for us to figure out how many hundreds of people were in this problem. And then we had to manually move payment pending to paid. And so this is the situation that Mr. Boynton was involved in.
Okay.
Did you have any conversations with board staff during the renewal process?
I don't remember exactly the time period where I was talking to Ms. Cardoza. I did talk to her, I think, at least two or three times.
And is this before you learned about the issue, or is this after you learned about
the issue? This is after the issue. I mean, after the security codes and whatnot.
And let me make sure I'm clear. Is this before you learned there was an issue that you had not renewed, or is this after you learned that you had not renewed?
Talking to Ms. Cardoza?
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure of the time period that I was talking to her. I know at least afterwards, but I might have talked to her before, too.
Yeah, it was full.
What was your takeaways from your conversations with Ms. Cardoza?
She just reiterated that there were issues with the computer system. I wasn't the only one. And then she tried to help me through the process of renewing my license.
Did you think you were okay with the board after your conversations with Ms.
Cardoza? Oh, most definitely, yeah.
So, Ms. Point, you didn't receive your license first. Excuse me, your certificate in the mail.
Not at that time. I did later on. But at that time, I did
after
not.
You had already gone through the process?
And after I talked to Ms. Cardoza,
okay.
I had received it.
All right.
And I'll remind the board again that the system periodically did not print and send about 500 of those
plus
renewals. So it would not have been a trigger for him to not have received it.
Okay.
And the other thing on your receipt, Mishka, a lot of people didn't receive receipts and they're just getting info now that they were double charged, so.
Yeah, we're still dealing with
yeah.
Wonderful renewal.
Yeah.
Ms. Cardoza.
Yes.
can you tell us your recollection of what happened with the receipts?
Again, as Mr. Boynton, I don't remember exact dates, but I do remember the issue because I remember talking with Mr. Boynton and someone the director of something in the facility, and before and after, and I apologize because we thought it was taken care of when we did talk previously, and then come to find out it was not Mr. Horton's fault.
And did you tell him that he had nothing to worry about?
I did.
Any other questions? Would you like to make a you don't have to, but would you like to make a closing statement?
I just wanted to clear everything up. This has been really stressful for me, and I in no way tried to intentionally be dishonest or deceiving or anything like that.
And I apologize for this. I was talking with you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay, so we move into a board deliberation phase. So
I move to dismiss.
Second.
Oh, we already have a motion and a second. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All right.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Thank you. That concludes. I'm sorry that you had to go through the stress. Please understand, it was not intentional.
I understand.
And you're not the only one that got caught up in that mess, but I appreciate your patience. I appreciate you coming here personally and dealing with this.
I second that.
Thank you, everybody.
See, technology is great, but it doesn't work.
Before we take a break, let's put on the record that informal hearing Carolyn Sarande, informal hearing Carolyn Sarande has been tabled to the next meeting.
Yes. Okay. All right, so let's take a break.